Welcome to Homeschool Companion, your source for information, motivation, and inspiration. If you're part of the homeschool community or simply interested in learning more about home-based education, stay tuned. Together, we'll examine the latest resources, learning styles, and teaching techniques. We'll speak with experts in the field to help you uncover every homeschool advantage. We'll also present suggestions on how to keep Christ in the curriculum as we explore fresh ways to teach and learn. Here's your homeschool companion host, author, educator, and children's ministry specialist, Dr. Rose Gamblin.
Welcome, welcome. Thank you for spending this time with us. You know, today's devotion is, "And He Did Evil." And unfortunately, we live in an enemy-occupied zone, so we have encountered those who do evil. Ahab, son of Omri, did evil in the eyes of the Lord more than any of those before him. 1 Kings 16:30. You know, an Old Testament ruler is bad when a Bible passage starts out with, "And he did evil in the sight of the Lord." Ahab was that kind of king and more, because he had this dubious distinction of doing more evil in the sight of the Lord than any of those before him. It all started when Ahab married Jezebel, who was fanatical about her pagan gods and made it her business to establish a new state religion in Israel. At the same time, she began to stamp out the worship of Jehovah, murdering Israel's prophets and forcing others into hiding. Only the prophet Elijah stood up to her. God gave Elijah a great victory when he called down fire from heaven and destroyed the 400 pagan prophets of Baal who came against God. Was everything perfect and peachy keen after that? Hardly. Elijah had to run for his life, or at least he did run for his life. In time, though, Ahab and Jezebel met bitter ends as God executed justice for their sins. And our faith check is, God will raise up either an Elijah or an Esther for such a time as this. He will not tolerate sin or injustice among his people for long. The Lord is your mighty defender, perfect and just in all his ways. Your God is faithful and true. He does what is right and fair. Deuteronomy 32:4. And our saying for the day is a very famous person or character, and that's Popeye the Sailor Man. "That's all I can stands, because I can't stands no more." And as frivolous as that might seem, I think all of us reach that point sometime, that's all we can stand. We cannot stand anymore. And sometimes that brings us to our knees and to our God, our wonderful God. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we have those who really are in dire straits. We ask that you save them. And I do appreciate how generous the American people are, and they give and they sacrificially give. Thank you for that, Lord. I pray for a family who has a son that has schizophrenia, and they just, you know, need mental health for him and guidance, and be with him. And I pray for our first responders who often are isolated from their families because they are helping with this virus. And I pray for our leaders as they make decisions. And I thank you, Lord, for my health, the health of my family, the health of my listeners. I just praise you for it. And I ask that your Holy Spirit go before us on the words of this show, that what we say will be to your honor and glory. All this I pray, Lord, in thy holy name. Amen. Ta-da! Well, in our arts and crafts section, we're discussing the forest classroom, meaning that what we can find outside that will enhance our learning. And today, I'd like to suggest making a botanical sun catcher. So you'll need some clear contact paper or clear self-adhesive shelf liner. I have even used packing tape, and I've used saran wrap. So you take two paper plates and you cut the middle out and you put this clearness on either side so that you'll be able to sandwich your botanicals in between it. Botanicals, I mean petals of flowers, leaves, and these sun catchers don't last for very long, but they certainly brighten the day. And if you do it on a sunny day and then it rains the next day, you have brought in a little bit of that joy and sunshine in. The lovely thing about the clear contact paper is that it holds the items, whereas if you use saran wrap or plastic wrap, you need to glue them on a little bit with a glue stick or something. And you'll need scissors and a hole punch and some yarn for hanging or a pipe cleaner. And we usually have a lot of this stuff in our home. And you just have so much fun doing these botanical sun catchers. If you have older students, you have a more sophisticated one. If you have a younger student, you have a less sophisticated one, but they're all still beautiful because you've brought in God's creation into your home. So that is my arts and crafts. I hope you have fun learning. In our curriculum corner, and maybe before I really get into the curriculum corner, I just want to remind you that I put a lot of these ideas on my Pinterest site. And my call numbers for my Pinterest site are mrgamblin2. I haven't figured out how to change that yet. When I do, I'll change it to something like Homeschool Companion. But in the meantime, Curriculum Corner, I just thought we would talk a little bit about a possible schedule. When you are homeschooling, you have the advantage of being able to get the important things done of the day in a smaller amount of time. You're not having to divide your time among 30-some students. And also, you can create a really safe learning environment. So that being said, your schedule should be relatively short. You should be able to get everything you need to get done in the morning, or if you are a night person, in the afternoon. Your homeschooling, no matter how many children you have, should not take up more than 4 hours of your day. And the rest of the time can be your children playing in the fields like little lambs, exploring nature. Older students can be doing their homework, but even that should be measured. So when I put these guidelines out, I'm talking about just that, getting it all in a short amount of time. We know that our attention span doesn't go much past 20 or 30 minutes, even as adults. Younger children, it's even less. So having a class for 15 minutes is totally appropriate. So in an hour, you could rotate through 4 different reading levels. In an hour, you could rotate through 4 different math levels. And you would set it up in such a way that then the rest of that hour would be their practice work. And you can set up some breaks in there, but 4 hours for a school day is totally enough. When I get letters from parents who say that, you know, they're working into the night trying to get all the work done, it tells me that they're really not trying to uncover the work. They're trying to cover the work. They're trying to do every problem in the book. They're trying to do everything, and it's all from the best of motives. They want to be the best teacher. They want to give their children the best education. But I'm here to tell you that even a workbook, you can cut that up. You can say, okay, we're going to do 10 problems a day of math. And these are the problems we're going to do. You might have a workbook page that has 20 problems on it. Or you might have one that only has 6, and you might want to add a couple. So 10 problems a day for math, learned well, practiced well, done well, goes much further than 20 problems a day where you didn't have time to really see if they were doing it correctly or not. So they made mistakes and they practiced it wrong. Now, not only do you have to teach the correct way, but you have to unteach the wrong way. And that can be very problematic. So as you're setting up your schedule, plan for 4 hours a day and arrange your science maybe only every other day. And in that slot, your social studies. So you would do STEM or science Monday and Wednesdays, and you do social studies Tuesdays and Thursdays. Maybe you just do art one day a week and or integrate it. Maybe your technology is just integrated into your subjects. So there's a lot of integration. So if you just stick with the reading, writing, and arithmetic, and then alternate your science and social studies, you should easily be able to fit it into a 4-hour a day. And you'll find that your kids really love learning if it's not long, long hours of book work. Make it how God intended learning to be. It's supposed to be, supposed to awaken the curiosity in us, and it's supposed to just make us want to learn more. And we can only do that by giving our students as much as possible the power of choice. Well, I've gone on too long about the scheduling of your day, and so that concludes my curriculum corner. So in the second half of the show, we're going to visit with Steve and Becky Harling, and we're talking about listen well, lead better. And I know you'll want to stay tuned, so we'll be right back. Hi, I'm Dr. Rose Gamblin, and I come to you each week through the programs of Education Currents and Homeschool Companion, and I'm so blessed to be part of MRG Media Radio Ministry, and I'm giving you the opportunity to be part of it too. We can't stay on the air without your financial support, so take a moment right now during our fundraiser to call you with a gift of any size. As a token of my appreciation for your gift, I have a gift for you, so be sure you call. And my gifts consist of some books that I've written that I've autographed for you. So be sure and call us, 301-824-3162. That's 301-824-3162. Or write to MRG Media at P.O. Box 413, Smithsburg, Maryland, 21783. That's P.O. Box 413, Smithsburg, Maryland, 21783. Welcome back. I am here with Steve Harling and Becky Harling, and we're talking about their book, Listen Well, Lead Better. Steve Harling is a 35-year veteran of church and nonprofit leadership, and he is the president of a global ministry. He travels around the world mentoring leaders and speaking at mission events, Bible conferences, and leadership retreats. And Becky is also a certified speaker, leadership coach, and trainer with the John Maxwell team. She is the author of several books, including How to Listen So People Will Talk, which I think we interviewed a while back. She speaks nationally and internationally at conferences, retreats, and training events. The Harlings travel widely from their home base in Colorado Springs. Thank you so much for being with us. And the website that we could encourage our listeners to go to, which one would you, or maybe there's more than one.
Right now we would recommend BeckyHarling.com and ReachBeyond.org, okay, where so Steve is the president.
BeckyHarling.com and ReachBeyond.org. So let's set the stage. Listen well, lead better. What prompted you to write this book?
Well, I wrote How to Listen So People Will Talk, and the publishing company came back and asked me to write a listening book for leaders, and particularly for business leaders, and I said no. And then they came back again and said, would you please pray about that? And as I was praying about it, the Lord gave me the idea for Steve to write it with me. He's the one that's the CEO. And while I coach leaders, I didn't really feel qualified to write a leadership book for them. And so together, we were able to do it together.
Yeah, so I would like to have been a little fly on the wall as you sat down that first few weeks as you kind of figured out how this was going to work out.
Yeah, that was an interesting experience. And we certainly, it stretched us in lots of different ways. And I think where it landed was I felt like Becky needed to be the project manager.
Okay.
So she kind of ran point. And this was a good lesson for me in allowing my wife to take a significant lead. And it wound up working out amazingly well, surprisingly well.
So you listened well so that you could lead better by letting her lead.
It kind of worked out sort of like that.
Pretty much.
Sort of.
Yeah.
It worked out really amazingly well, though. And I think it deepened our relationship with one another. And it really helped us put the principles of listening into practice. So that what we're talking about is real stuff, real lived, even in the process of writing the book.
Yes, I can't imagine because, you know, when you're with your spouse, there that's the real you. You have grown accustomed to each other. You're not trying to impress each other. You've done that many years before. And now the real you is working together on this very worthwhile project. But listen well, lead better. I suppose that principle could apply to listen well, have a happier marriage.
It sure does. In fact, Becky wrote a book, How to Listen So People Will Talk. And now she has another book coming out, How to Listen So Your Kids Will Talk. So the principles really apply all the way across personal relationships, professional relationships, business relationships. If we become better listeners, it enables others to feel valued and it prompts them and draws them out.
Yeah, and I suppose there even is the kind of the other side of the coin. If you listen well, people don't have to talk so much.
That's true too.
True. Because they know they feel they're being heard. So let's talk about each of the chapters that you wrote. So the first one, the missing ingredient to a greater influence.
Well, I'll tell you what, here's how I would talk about this one. I was in a taxi cab recently in Sydney, Australia, and driving along out towards the airport in Sydney, and the taxi driver, we'll call him Omar, he was obviously a Somali, he was a Muslim, and as we engaged in our conversation, we had an amazing talk with one another, and towards the end, as we were getting to the airport, I said, "What advice do you have for me as a Christian?" And he said something that really provoked me a lot. He said, "The problem with you Christians is that you talk all the time and you don't listen to us and you just tell us what to believe." And man, that really hit me hard because I realized that the Jesus we follow was an incredible listener. Mm-hmm. And if we could occupy that space of becoming people who are good listeners, it would open up opportunities for us to share the good news of Jesus.
Wow, profound. You know, I think of all the times I've talked way too much. Way too much.
You know, Jesus said in Luke 8:18, "Be careful how you listen." And I think a lot of times as leaders, we have so much vision. We know where we want things to go, and we're headed for that vision. And because of that, we're not listening to those we lead, and we need to give them voice.
You know, Becky, I wanted to ask you before we get too far in the interview, what the biggest challenge was, since you were the project manager working with Steve.
The biggest project was getting Steve to get me stuff on time. You know, we travel a lot, and we each divided up chapters, and Steve would take the lead on one, and I would take the lead on the other. But really, it was just we were managing a very heavy travel schedule and just getting stuff together on time and making sure everything fit. That was probably the greatest challenge. But it was really good for us. Steve is wildly creative. And so there's a lot of fun stories in the book.
Yes, every couple needs that creative, abstract, random. And then you need the concrete, sequential, you know, organizational skills and getting it all done. And sometimes there's a little bit in both, but usually one is got greater skills in one area and the other in the other. I mean, God has, when he's made the couple, it is a completion of the perfect person by putting everyone together. Okay, so I'm asking you, Becky, become self-aware, not self-obsessed. And I think what I'm looking for here is, how does someone know when they're self-aware and as opposed to self-obsessed?
Yeah, that is a great question, Rose. One of the greatest things you can do is ask people that are close to you, how am I coming across? Because if people dare to be honest with you, they will tell you. So oftentimes when we walk away from a conversation, we look at each other and we think, how did I come across? You know, and we'll give each other feedback. You know, if we've monopolized the conversation and we're telling other people all about us, then usually that points to self-obsession rather than self-awareness. Self-awareness says, I'm going to give the other person a chance to tell their story, and I'm going to keep my focus on them and drawing them out.
Amen. And I think we've all been in groups where that person was talking unending about themselves, and we all vow, I don't want to be like that.
Right.
But sometimes we are, and unless we have an honest friend or partner that says, you know, you really came across as being a little obsessed about yourself.
yes. And those conversations are never fun, but they're necessary.
Yes. Okay, and then chapter 3, know your people. So I'll ask Steve about that.
You know, there's a verse in the book of Proverbs that says, know your flocks. Mm. And I think as a leader, it's really important to get to know your people, the people who serve and work with you. And how do you get to know them? You get to know them by asking questions and listening to their responses. And that is a very important thing. When you're a new hire, for example, to spend time individually with the staff who report to you and those that are around you, getting to know them, what motivates them, what excites them, just drawing out and hearing their stories, because, again, they feel valued that way.
Yes. That is so true. And sometimes when you're in leadership, you feel so busy. Mm-hmm. You just feel like, you know, I really don't have time. That person talks so much. I really don't have time to spend, but it's a great investment. There might be a time when you need to withdraw if you have invested. That's a very good point. So chapter 4 kind of goes along with that. Give the gifts of trust and empowerment. So can you share an example, maybe from the book or your own experience?
You know, I think a lot of times as leaders, again, because we are visionaries, and Steve and I, we're both visionaries, so we joke with each other saying, I'll set vision for Steve's life and he'll set vision for my life. But a lot of times when you have those strong visionary gifts, you tend to railroad over people rather than empowering them to become the people that God has called them to be and to be the best version of themselves. So I think about a time in our organization where Steve observed one of his vice presidents teaching, and at the end of it he went back to him and said, wow, you are really good at that, and I want to challenge you to take that farther. I want you to take this and run with it, you know, and create material and create, you know, benefits. I think in the churches where we served, you were really careful to empower our staff to make decisions, definitely within a given area, but you go ahead and you make those decisions, because we don't want to micromanage people.
Yes. Well, we have to end the show, but thank you for being with us. Be sure to go to reachbeyond.org or beckyharling.com, and that's spelled HARLING.com. And remember, listen well and lead better. I have one last thing to say, and that is God bless.
You have been listening to Homeschool Companion, a production of MRG Media. Be sure to join us on Facebook. Just type in the name Homeschool Companion. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word, mrgmediaministries.com.